Psyche Zing from the University of Delaware.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Psyche Zing, a graduate student from University of Delaware. So today I'm going to talk about plant growth promoting red bacteria enhance plant drought tolerance by changing soil physical and hydraulic properties. Other co-authors of this talk are Wen Zhuanzheng, a postdoc in our group, and Dr. Harsh Bays, a collaborate professor in our department, and Dr. Yan Jin, my advisor. So a major challenge of agriculture today is how to ensure the crop production could meet the increasing global population and consumption for foods. This is quite difficult because the increase in food production will have to mainly come from the increase in crop yield per hectare, as the cropland area is nearing its planetary limit. And also there are some other things such as the climate change that will cause a lot of extreme weather such as drought and storm will have great impact on our agriculture activities. And the water deficiency is always a big problem in our agriculture. So to increase in the crop yield per hectare, we already have some solutions. Some of the solutions are plant-based solutions such as the plant breeding and genetic engineered plants. So with this method, we can get the plant species with specific traits that we want. But this method is always time consuming. And another solution such as our soil-based solutions such as fertilizer. So the fertilizer has increased the crop yield per hectare dramatically over the last few decades. But this method is not good for soil health and not sustainable. Large amount and long-term applying of fertilizer into soil will cause some soil problems, such as soil compaction, soil acidification, and decreasing soil organic matter content. And one of the alternative methods for the fertilizer is PGPR, that is plant growth promoting red bacteria. So most of the previous study about PGPR mainly focus on the interaction between plants and bacteria. So such as how the bacteria could enhance plants' nutrient uptake and production of phytohormone or antifungal activities. And one of the special, one of the particular PGPR is UD1022, a special strain of Bacillus subtilis, first isolated from the soil in around the radish root. And Dr. Bays in our department found that the UD1022 could also increase plant drought tolerance, as we can see in the following image. These are the plants Arabidopsis thaliana treated with different bacteria, and they were not watered over a long weekend. And we can see that most of the plants get wilted, except those plants treated with UD1022. And Dr. Bays' explanation is that the bacteria could close the stomata in the plants that will reduce plant transpiration. But we, as we are soil people, we are considering that whether those bacteria could also change the soil properties around them that will also correspond to the plant drought tolerance. So I hypothesize that the EPS, extracellular polymeric substances, produced by PGPR could modify soil physical and hydraulic properties that impact water retention and flow behavior in soil. And those changes influence soil influence root growth and water and nutrient uptake by plants, thus increase their tolerance in biotic stress such as drought. But in today's talk, I will mostly focus on the first hypothesis to evaluate and quantify PGPR's influence on soil water evaporation and soil structure change. So to verify my hypothesis, I did the following experiment. The neutron radiography and tomography and X-ray tomography in NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology. And the neutron beam is really sensitive to the hydrogen, so we can detect the water in the samples really well. And the X-ray is really sensitive to the atomic mass or the density of the soil, so we can see soil particles. And I also took some SEM imaging to provide more details about the soil structure. And the high-probe experiment, the high-probe consists of two precision tensiometers that locate at different depths of the soil column to record the moisture potential as well as the weight changes during the evaporation. So here's my result. This is the neutron radiography image result. The following video is the neutron radiography video that shows the 12-hour evaporation of two samples. The left side is the control sample, and the right side is the treated sample. The column here we use has the dimension of 10 millimeter diameter and 20 millimeter height. And the sand we use here is the aqueous sand, and they were acid washed and autoclaved before use. In this video, the different color indicates different water content. The blue indicates higher water content and turns to red and then yellow when the water content decreases. So let's look at the video. So from the video, we can clearly see that the evaporation rate of the treated sample is lower than the control. And after 12 hours of evaporation, the control sample is almost dry, while there is still some water remaining in the bottom part of the treated sample. And this provides us visible and direct evidence that the UD1022 could reduce soil water evaporation rate. And these are the X-ray tomography images of the soil column. And these two large images are the central vertical intersection of two columns, and the bright part or the yellow part in the image are the sand particles, while the brown or the dark part are the pores or the gaps between the soil particles. And the two GIF images next to those intersection images are also the intersection image, but show the complete structure of the soil column. And the left side is the control and the right side is treated. And to investigate the structure change in the soil samples, I calculated the porosity from both neutron tomography and X-ray tomography. And the calculated result of the porosity is overestimated, but they're consistent with both results calculated from both neutron and X-ray tomography. And the most important thing here is the difference between the porosity in treated and control sand are consistent as well. So the porosity of the treated sand is about 3% higher than the control. So to further validate this result, I take some SEM image. So the left side is the pure sand control, and the right side is the treated. From we can see the small picture in the upper left corner. In the control, the sand particles are loose and separated from each other, while in the treated, the sand particles are form aggregates. They are glued together, and when we increase the magnification, we can see that the middle image in the right part, and there are lots of short rod-like things, and that is bacteria. And those bacteria present in between the gaps between soil samples and on the soil and on the sand surface. And when we take a close look into the bacteria, we can find that there are lots of slimy-like things, that is biofilm or the EPS produced by the bacteria. Those EPS have glued the bacteria together as well as soil particles and from the aggregates. So from the SCM image, we can conclude that the UD1022 could form soil aggregates that will increase the soil porosity, which is consistent to my previous result. So we also did some quantified results. The data collected, the data here is the pure sand data collected from the high-prof measurements, and the blue here indicates control, and the red indicates treated. And the upper left, the upper right figure is the temperature versus time, that indicating the temperature is controlled quite well during our evaporation experiment. And in the bottom part, the left image figure is the evaporation rate versus saturation of the pure sand. So we can see that initially that is the right hand of the figure when the water content is high. So we cannot see too much difference between of the evaporation rate between treated and control. But when the water content decreases, we can see the bacteria effect, that the bacteria treated sand has lower evaporation rate than control. And the right side, the figure is the cumulative evaporation, which is consistent to the left figure, that more water is evaporated from the control than treated during the evaporation. We also did this high-prof experiment with different kinds of soil, different type of soils. So the left image is the evaporation rate versus saturation of the sandy soil, and the right side is that of clay. So we can see that the trend is similar, that is the treated sample has lower evaporation rate, but this effect is not very significant in those heavy texture soil such as clay, because the clay already have pretty high porosity. But in the coarse texture soil such as pure sand or sandy soil, this effect is more pronounced, and especially when the soil water content is pretty low. So we conclude that the UD1022 reduce water evaporation rate of soil, and the EPS produced by UD1022 increase water holding capacity of soil by improving soil structure, such as increasing soil aggregation and porosity. And the above effects are more pronounced in cross-texture soils. And the future work I'm going to do is to study the changes in rhizosphere soil properties when plants is included in the experiment, because in the natural conditions, those complex interactions between plants, soil, and microbes happens in the rhizosphere soil, and the rhizosphere soil is where the UD1022 presents in the natural condition as well. So I'd like to acknowledge the financial support from USDA HEDGE Project, as well as Dr. David Jacobson and Jacob Lamana from NIST for their brilliant work and effort in those nutrient X-ray imagings. Thanks. Any questions?
Time for a few questions. In the back.
We haven't started plant parts yet, but so a little bit plan about my next experiment is about to use the isotopes to study the evaporation of the soil and the transpiration of the plants to see if this could have some isotopes differences that will, you know, indicating the difference of the evaporation part and the water that's used for the plant evaporation and to lose from the soil evaporation. Thank you. Well, I'm not a microbe guy, so don't know a lot about this, but what I do know is the UD1022 could increase the phosphorus solubilization and nitrogen fixation, and by accident, Dr. Bates found that it's also increased the plant drought tolerance, so we use that bacteria. Because Dr. Bates had did a lot of work about this, so we could get more useful data and, you know, results from their experiment, so we select this bacteria.
Do these rhizobacteria have any water repellency that they induce in the soil that you know of?
Yeah, I know that the EPS is both hydrophobic and hydrophilic, but that's what I want to watch in the next few experiments to measure the hydrophobicity, whether they change hydrophobicity of the soil. Yeah, but I think this is mostly should be hydrophobic because it's the effect is more pronounced in the low water content.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, let's give another hand for our speaker.